And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and she returns Amy Needle, president and founder of Historic Philadelphia Incorporated. And welcome back, Amy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's wonderful in this auspicious year. You are celebrating 30 years of Historic Philadelphia.
Yes. It's very exciting. We are marking the celebration by, you know, announcing our season, which of course is launching Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, we'll continue all summer long with lots of different activities, both at Franklin Square, in the Historic District, throughout the Historic District, and of course at the Betsy Ross House.
You know, for a city that most people from outside the country would think of as like a big Williamsburg, a lot of people get that in their head. Yet before you launched Historic Philadelphia, Philadelphia did not embrace its historic past. And so why don't you take a few bows here and talk a little bit about recognizing this for what we had, this gem here.
Well, I'm not going to take the credit. I'm going to give the credit to the person that gets so much credit around here, and deservedly so, Ed Rendell. We were so lucky 30 years ago to have him as our mayor. Not only was he dealing with one of the city's worst financial crises when he stepped into his first term, but he and his team had a vision. And that vision is a lot of what you see in Philadelphia now, you know, the lively arts scene on the Avenue of the Arts, which wasn't there before him, the fabulous hotels and restaurants, and of course, the Historic District. He grew up as a history lover. He loved Williamsburg. He knew that Philadelphia had, like, I mean, we have the icons. All it needed was a way to travel through them, to connect the dots, and to tell the history in a fun, engaging way. Because, right, a lot of people think history is boring. I think many of us who grew up in the 70s, 60s, weren't taught history in a fun, engaging way. We were taught to learn the dates and the names. We didn't really understand that these were people like us who were having to make challenging decisions about their future and the future of this very little, you know, baby country, and what they did and what they didn't do to put all of that into rotation and make it happen. And so, you know, I think he saw the importance of getting the history right and to telling it in a fun, engaging way. And so when the convention center was about to open, when, you know, civic leaders and Ed Rendell knew that all these people were coming into town, they thought, okay, we need an organization that can help make the history fun, make people understand how to move around the history. And we just started then, and we've been lucky enough through a variety of grants, foundations, and civic leaders, as well as, you know, a dedicated staff and team, that we've been able to continue to grow all of those important places and, you know, pieces that make the visitor experience, whether you're, you know, a visitor from the neighborhood or you're a visitor from Kansas, really fun and memorable and, you know, a place that you want to come back to.
You mentioned to it, you just in passing, that they were people like us. And one of the great things about Historic Philadelphia is that you do connect with these people. You meet real human beings that were conducting business and living their lives with whatever social norms were placed upon them. They're struggling to make a living and they succeed. And it's a wonderful story that you tell. And it's also one of urban renewal because you picked up a park and restored that. So Historic Philadelphia, it touches on so many different areas, is what I'm trying to say in that long-winded statement.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, we have places where you can engage with the history, like you said. So you can do that at the Betsy Ross House. Her story, Betsy's story, is incredible. Not only, obviously, did George Washington come to her and ask her to create the flag, but she was one of the first female entrepreneurs She, was an upholsterer, and she was, had a business that she was running while she was raising seven kids, while she was married three different times. So her story and the story of the Betsy Ross House is really incredible. So you can engage in history there. Like you mentioned, you also can go to our Once Upon a Nation storytelling benches. This year, there are eight of them that are scattered throughout the historic district. And these are free stories that you can hear. They're real. Sometimes when you hear stories, you think they're made up tales, but these are real stories based in history. When you sit at a storytelling bench, and you have a chance to like sit down after all that walking, and relax a minute, and your storyteller, your Once Upon a Nation storyteller, will tell you a story about some kind of history that happened right there in that spot. And so that for me is when the history does become like very relevant and real, very real, because you're sitting in the place where the history happened, and he or she is telling you these great stories, whether it was about the first bank robbery that happened in Carpenter's Hall, or about Lydia Darrah, who was a Quaker spy, or about all the things, not just the signing of the Declaration, but all the things that happened in Independence Hall. All those stories are just, and they're told in fun and engaging ways. They're 3 to 5 minutes in length. And so, if you have kids who are maybe a little bit interested in history, or if you are a history lover yourselves, they're a great way to navigate the historic district. Once you get to a bench, you'll pick up a storytelling flag. Your storyteller, after you hear your story, will give you a star, and you can collect stars at all the different benches. And then once you've filled up your flag, you can take that to Franklin Square, where you can get a free carousel ride. And you can also get a history certificate signed by all the storytellers. In addition to the storytelling benches, we also, like you said, Laura, have people walking around who are dressed in costume. They believe they are those people from 1776 through 1778. And they are real people. And so the cool thing is to hear a story about one of them at one of the benches, like Henry Box Brown. And then you can go and meet him and actually hear his story. And in addition to having the history makers out and about, we also have three very engaging programs that'll be great this summer. One is called the Colonial Kids Quest Puppet Show. That's going to happen on weekends, and it is free. And it is a puppet show where the story is that there's a missing copy of the Declaration of Independence. And there are puppet friends that will help try and find the copy before it's too late, before they have to read it publicly for the first time, no pressure, in 1776. So that's really fun. And that's really gauged for kids, I would say between 4 and 8, maybe, but obviously fun for parents and adults too. That's going to happen behind Carpenter's Hall. And then we will be doing the Colonial Muster, as well as a daily Declaration of Independence reading. So both of all of that is free. All of that is all summer long, and all of that is information that you can find in the Historic Philadelphia Gazette, which is a publication that the organization has done for the entire length of our existence. And you can pick that up at any of the storytelling benches, but you can pick it up at the Independence Visitor Center. That's where we always recommend you start your day. The staff there is phenomenal. They'll give you information about how to plan your day and, tips and discounts on tickets and all of that. But then, yes, over at Franklin Square, as you mentioned, Historic Philadelphia renovated the park 18 years ago. It was one of William Penn's original five squares. When he designed the city, he knew it was important to have green space. And we realized how important it is to have green space during the pandemic, right? Like, everybody just needed to get out, and they needed to just be in nature. And we're lucky that we have that space and so many beautiful spaces in Philadelphia. But 18 years ago, again, Governor Rendell, at the time he was governor, we thought it was very important to have this space that had been forgotten about, even though it's, steps away from the Liberty Bell and you're right next to the Constitution Center. It had really sat there for probably 5 decades with not a lot of love being shown to it. And so Historic Philadelphia raised money to renovate it and added attractions, which we thought in the beginning is really the way that we would get people there. And so we added a Philadelphia miniature golf course. We added a carousel because at one point there was 3 carousel making companies in Philadelphia. So that's our sort of our homage to them. And there was always a historic fountain in the center of it. And we have renovated that. And since even the renovation of the square 18 years ago, we've renovated the fountain again. And now it has a daytime and nighttime sound and music show, where you have dancing fountains put to music. The songs include, Rocky, of course, Katy Perry Fireworks, Dua Lipa, Boyz II Men. So it's really fun. And that happens on the half hour, starting at noon and going through whenever we close. And, Franklin Square has definitely become one of Philadelphia's favorite play spaces. There's lots of free events that happen there all summer long. And of course, one of the biggest that isn't free, but it is a fundraiser for the organization, is the Philadelphia Chinese Lantern Festival. And that happens beginning in June, June 20th. And it is a celebration of Chinese culture. And it is just a gorgeous evening event to bring your family, your date, your friends to. And that will run all summer long through the end of August.
That is a major tourist attraction and a major fundraiser to support your efforts, isn't it?
It is. It's beautiful. This will be our 6th festival. We didn't have them during COVID, obviously. And what we really have come to realize is that it is just a wonderful thing to do with your families in the summer. Because you don't have to worry about, kids getting to bed early. You can go, you can have an evening in the city. We like to tell people to go to Chinatown for dinner first and then come over to the festival. But we have lots of food in the festival itself. There are stage performances. There's the carousel and the mini golf. We have a fountain show that's themed to Asian music. So it really is quite a night. It's just, I mean, the lanterns are going to be beautiful, but beyond the lanterns, there's just lots to do and fun things to see. We have Chinese artisans there who are making crafts for you to take home. There's great food and, a bar so you can stroll with your festive cocktail and look at the lanterns. We've had engagements there. We've had, people who have, want to have their first dates there. It's really a wonderful evening.
I have been amazed by the number of tour buses that roll in and bring people from outside the city, from quite far distances, actually. Groups will come to attend this, and each year they get more and more intricate and spectacular. I mean, you have to outdo yourself each year, and you manage so far, but it is a real big attraction. And yet the park is still open for enjoyment for families who just want to come and enjoy a little bit of green space.
Yeah, so during the day it is open free, so anyone can come in, and we hope they do. And the cool thing is the lanterns look beautiful during the daytime. And so, if you don't want to go in the evening for whatever reason, you can come and see the lanterns. They really are giant sculptures, is really how a lot of times when people hear lanterns, they think of the things that fly up in the air. These don't do that because it's, we have a dragon, for example. This year is the year of the dragon. We always have dragons, but this year we'll have lots of dragons. Our biggest dragon is 3 school buses lengths long, so he's not going anywhere. But yes, it is a big attraction. We really do work all year long with the Lantern Festival company, whose company's name is Tianyu. And we really work all year long, like you said, just to make sure that we can continue to provide a great experience for everyone.
This, though, is a neighborhood anchor for so many families, people with their pets, their kids. They enjoy this green space all year long. You've got programming in the park all year long. You're part of our fabric now on New Year's. There's always something happening in this park. And would anybody have said that this park was one as huge as it is and developed and could hold so many amazing activities? And B, where it's located, it almost feels like it's on the edge, but yet it is right there in the middle of everything, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tell us like, oh, I didn't realize it was so big. Because I think when you're driving by, maybe to get on the Ben Franklin Bridge, you're rushing through to get to the shore, wherever you're going, you don't have a sense of how large it is. It's 7.5 acres. And the cool thing about the Lantern Festival is, yes, it takes over the whole entire square. So there are lanterns everywhere, which makes it really fun. But you're absolutely right. We work really hard all year long to have lots of free programming that we can continue to provide for the public. So, for example, this summer, we have Tai Chi classes, we have yoga classes, we have storytelling that we work with from the free library. We also have weekend events, and everybody can find all the information on our website, historicphiladelphia.org. In the fall, we do a lot of fall-related things, like we have a pumpkin patch and we have a trick-or-treat trail. And this year, we're going to have a maze. And then, of course, in the winter, when I know we'll be back before then, we will have our light show over in Franklin Square as well.
We've got to move on. We've got to cover the historic Betsy Ross House. But if anybody is interested, any information that we're talking about today, you can always go again, historicphiladelphia.org. That's historicphiladelphia.org. Do you want to talk a little bit about the house? And then we got to get into the programming that you're offering this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, interestingly enough, Betsy rented her room. She didn't own that house. It was owned by a woman named Hannah Lithgow. So there were a number of different people who rented rooms. And that was something that was very popular back then, kind of like apartment living now. And so what we do with the Betsy Ross House is we really celebrate the 18th century woman. And you can come to the Betsy Ross Courtyard and meet a number of them. And not just people who lived in the house, but people who maybe worked in the area. And all of that is really celebrated at the house all year long. So that is a really great thing. And you know, we are gearing up, obviously, a big week over at the Betsy Ross House is Flag Week, which culminates, obviously, or, you know, big day is Flag Day on June 14th. And make sure everybody knows that that's Flag Day. But we celebrate the Betsy Ross House all week long, beginning on June 8th. And there are a variety of free activities all week long. But we will culminate with a wonderful concert on June 15th with Donald Dumpson and his gospel singing group. So that'll be a really wonderful final day for Flag Week.
Throughout the year, when you visit, though, you walk through the rooms, you meet how they lived, you meet the people who are making this house work.
Yes. And every day you can come to the Betsy Ross House and meet Betsy in her upholstery shop. The house is, you know, it's amazing to see the house and the variety of rooms that you can walk through. You also have the opportunity to meet Betsy, and there she can tell you the story of when George Washington came to her and asked her to sew the flag. And he actually wanted a flag with stars that were 6-pointed. And then you will have to hear from Betsy how she recommended to George Washington that, you know, what her thoughts were about that, and how she with a snip of a scissors, changed history for a very, very, very long time. But I'll let her tell you that story when you go to the house.
I had a children's book about her magic scissors and snipping a piece of cloth into the five-pointed star. Children's Naturalization Day. You've got a ceremony coming up over the 4th of July weekend celebrations.
Yes. We always have a great naturalization celebration. And it is really, I mean, we have one actually on June 14th as well. But on July 2nd, we will have a kids naturalization ceremony. And with all of the activities and many people in the historic district and around the city really focused on that year 2026, the historic district is partnering together starting this summer. On July 2nd, for a brand new event called the Red, White, and Blue To Do. And that event is going to happen over, I hope, over the next many, many years. But we're working on it this summer to build upon it for the next few years. And so what we'll do this summer on July 2nd, and you might say, well, why July 2nd? And the reason is because John Adams believed that that was the day that we would be celebrating with pomp and circumstance and parades and fireworks. He wrote that in a letter to his wife, Abigail Adams. So we think that that's amazing. And so we thought, well, let's celebrate on July 2nd. So on July 2nd this year, we will have the children's naturalization ceremony in the at 9 o'clock, and then and all the museums will open in the historic district. And then at 11 o'clock, we will have a parade. And this isn't just any big July 4th parade. This is sort of your old timey parade. Think crepe paper and bikes, except we won't have bikes, we'll actually have wagons. And if people are interested in participating in this, they can go to our website and sign up. But we also are going to have decoration days leading up to it, where you can actually help us make some of the floats for the parade. So the parade will happen. It will launch from the National Constitution Center and go to Carpenter's Hall. At Carpenter's Hall, there is a Go Forth and Learn event that's happening in conjunction with Welcome America. And then in the afternoon, in addition to having Old City District have lots of different food specials at many of the great restaurants in Old City, Red, White, and Blue food specials. In the afternoon, there will be free concerts, free street performances at several of the different area attractions and museums. So we'll have concerts at the African American Museum, the Arch Street Meeting House, the Liberty Museum, and Alfred's Alley. And those will happen all afternoon. And then, like I said, this is just year one. The idea is that next year, this event grows a little bit. And then the following year, it's Red, White, and Blue To Do on steroids for 2026. So we're really excited. The whole historic district partners, everyone from the Park Service to the National Constitution Center to the Visitor Center, the Jewish Museum, the African American Museum, all your favorite attractions, the Museum of the American Revolution, all have partnered together to make this happen. And we're really excited about that and being able to, start something that will continue through 2026 and hopefully beyond.
Well, I was hesitant to bring up all the tourist buses at Franklin Square because you knew I was going to bring up 2026 by the end of this, because we've had, Danielle Day Kim's been on a couple of times to talk about Philadelphia 250. We've talked about what's, the plans, and each museum, everybody's been holding it a little bit tight to their vest here, under their vest, about what they're planning for this 26 year. But with all of the tours that I'm coming in, I'm seeing now the efforts of a Liberty Trail and taking on Boston and reclaiming our position as the place where it all began. And how is that coming? And what are the big plans for 2026? Do you want to talk about how important tourism is to us?
Yes, it's extremely important to us. But to answer the idea about the trail real quick, I would be surprised if Philadelphia, knowing how Philadelphians are, really want to do something that Boston does, because I think we're much better than that. And I don't think the trail is really the answer. I believe that the Once Upon a Nation storytelling benches are the dots that connect the stories, and that they can be the connective glue that takes people from site to site to site. We and would be happy to be that. If others want to do some sort of line on the ground, I think that's their prerogative, but I'm not really sure that that is, the answer. I think that it's really, we are really lucky right now. We have a brand new superintendent at Independence National Historic Park. His name is Steve Sims. He was actually in Independence for a few years, and then became the superintendent in Gettysburg, and he is wonderful. He will really help continue to transform Independence National Historic Park. I mean, we have so many buildings that are, in need of caretaking, which they do so well, and also wanting to open new buildings. They need funding. Everybody needs funding to be able to do, just the day to day, but to talk about, what we all hope to do for 2026. So I think that's probably why you're saying everybody's sort of close to their vest, because everybody is trying to figure out, like, what can we do? And I think it's also important to really think about, we're in a different place in the world than we were, when Philadelphia celebrated the bicentennial, which I wasn't here, but I know that didn't go particularly well. But I think it is not necessarily, not everybody wants to celebrate. We also have some other exciting things that are happening besides the 2020, besides the fact that it is the 250th anniversary of the country. There's the World Cup. There is Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And so just making sure that we are ready for all of that. It's sort of like when you're having a party or you have, relatives coming to your house, you need to clean, you need to get ready. Maybe you plant a few flowers, right? And so that's a lot of what I know Philadelphia and the city and the Parker administration are all thinking about, making sure that we can have our best foot forward when all of those visitors come. And that's one of the reasons why we thought it was important in the historic district to, start some of the planning for these events. We all do amazing things every day, but to come together to do something that people can say, hey, I want to be there on July 2nd for this event, and then hopefully, spend the whole weekend. I think that's also really important.
Getting a little practice in before the big onslaughts. 2016 is going to be the year we see more tourist dollars and more tourist feet than we have seen in many, many years. So I'm glad that you're getting ahead of the curve here.
Exactly.
How about some parting words?
Yeah, I mean, we hope everybody has a great summer, and we hope you include a visit to the historic district in those summer plans. It's a great place to bring your friends, family, or if you haven't been to any of these places in a long time, we hope you come and take part of it. As I mentioned, a great place to start is at the Independence Visitor Center at 6th and Market, where you can get all the information on your visit. But you can also follow and go to our website at historicphiladelphia.org. That's where you can get all the information that I talked about today, including, Chinese Lantern Festival tickets and schedules of all the free programming and, hours of operation for the Betsy Ross House. Everything you need to know is on that website.
And that's real easy. Historicphiladelphia.org. Historicphiladelphia, all spelled out, historicphiladelphia.org. My guest today, Amy Needle, the president and founder of Historic Philadelphia Incorporated. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much, Laura. Take care.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.